Lord Vol's estate.
4 hours later, there was a meeting. It was not held in the Circle Chambers, but rather in Lord Vol's private residence, and he was the only one physically present. He did not make the amateur's mistake of underestimating Abeloth, nor the power she might wield over certain members of the tribe who had once been sent to capture her and instead had brokered an alliance. Vol was the single most powerful individual on the planet. He had also amassed more than a fair amount of wealth over the years of his rise, because he had observed early on that often wealth was an asset to obtaining power. He did not, however, accumulate it for himself. Sarasu Talon might have lusted after beautiful objects or beings, but Vol saw such things only as stepping stones to tightening his control and solidifying his influence. His estate was lavish and lovely, his public rooms subtly speaking of his wealth and fine taste, but his private rooms were as bare as the apprentice quarters of the Sith Temple. He sat now in a chair that was comfortable but simple, and he was surrounded by 5 holograms. Of all the number of the Circle, these were the only ones he truly trusted. "Well," he amended as he settled down with a cup of something hot to warm his old bones, "trusted as much as the Grand High Lord of the Lost Tribe of Sith could trust. Warkon, of course. You're as neutral as any being could be and still walk the dark side path. Jesko Umarn and Isadri Caladris, lower in rank but rising swiftly, hungry for power and recognition, and wise enough to ally with one who could give these to them. And Samul Sharsa, an older human woman, the widow of a former lord. She had been chosen to step into his position after his recent, and unusually natural, death. They had 2 children, one of whom was an artisan, the other a saber."
"So,"
Vol said without preamble, sipping the steaming beverage,
"tell me your thoughts on this evening."
They did. He listened, interrupting each as they spoke in turn, only with questions for clarification. Some of them shared his opinions, some did not, and he respected those opinions as well. He had not risen to this position and stayed for so long, almost unchallenged, without understanding that dissenting opinions were often the most valuable. It was Warkon who brought up Vol's greatest concern.
"I am unsure about Gavar Kai. Per your request, I have spoken with some of his compatriots. They have expressed concern over the girl, Mistara's true loyalty, and fear that therefore Kai's own loyalty might be compromised."
"Few dote on a child as openly as Kai did Vestara,"
said Sharsa. She, apparently, did not have undue difficulty with overly doting upon her children.
"Vestara Kai was chosen by ship,"
Yor countered.
"Many more Sith than just her parents expected great things of her."
The usage of the past tense did not escape Vol.
"We will deal with the issue of Vestara Kai's treachery or service later," Vol said. "Abeloth and Gavar Kai's connection with her is the pressing matter. Caladris, you are the one who debriefed our returning tribe members. Give 1 or 2 the duty of keeping an eye on Kai and reporting back. It may be the father, not the daughter, who is turning traitor."